Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Los Angeles-based agent and one-on-one coaching student, Tony Martin. Tony graduated from Cal State Los Angeles in 2001 with a degree in criminology. After serving in the LAPD and a career path as a recovery agent for the Department of Insurance, Tony took a medical retirement and went into the real estate business in 2013. Using the systems of Tim and Julie Harris Real Estate Coaching, Tony's built a niche for himself in expired and canceled listings, combined with renovation and investment. When he's not selling real estate, he loves to play and coach baseball and softball and spend time with his 9-year-old daughter and 8-month-old son. Now, let's welcome Tony to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
So, Tony, welcome to today's radio show. Thank you very much for being my co-host. And, you know, it's interesting. We do have an absolute ton of coaching clients who were former law enforcement officers or in the military or airline pilots, people that basically had real professional, previous careers. Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, thank you, Tim, for allowing me to join your program this morning. But I believe that, I mean, it's a proven fact that real estate is the number way to build, you know, the lifestyle that people want and the freedom that allows them, you know, to do what they've always dreamed about.
Right. And so in order for you to be a successful law enforcement officer, you had to basically, your career was all about following specific rules and having a schedule and being accountable. I mean, you can't be a cop in L.A. without basically having some resemblance of, a regimen. And that probably actually has more of a positive, favorable effect on your ability to sell real estate at the level that you are than maybe somebody that didn't have that background. So it's kind of interesting. Listeners, a lot of people out there that, you know, were former pilots and whatnot, they do have a tendency to actually click right into real estate at a high level really, really quickly. What was the hardest part? What was the hardest aspect of going from what you used to do to what you do now, selling real estate full-time in L.A.?
Well, the hardest part was obviously jumping into real estate, not knowing the business, you know, not knowing how to go out there and market myself because, again, we always had direction, and I believe that's where the coaching comes in play because in law enforcement, obviously, you have your superiors, your sergeants, your captains giving you the agendas, and, you know, you go out and perform. So with real estate, it's pretty much the same thing. If you do not know what you're doing, you're not going to be successful. And if you don't have, you know, the coaching, you're going to be like a chicken without a head out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's in your market too. You're in like one of the most competitive markets in the country. You know, I mean, you're going against some of the best agents in the country, and there's nothing about selling real estate in your market that's easy. That's just the way it is, and you know, it's because there's so many agents, so much competition, so many really great agents in your market. So, what specific things are you doing to be so successful so quick that other agents in other parts of the country could also be employing?
Coming into the coaching program, you know, I learned all the different tactics and all the different approaches of how you could market yourself, how you're able to, you know, build a business in real estate. And I put my focus on for sale by owners, canceled, expired listings, and started targeting that market, but I took a different approach as the typical, you know, just calling them or cold calling and trying to set appointments in that aspect or trying to figure out what went wrong on their deal that their listing expired or their listing canceled, where I actually started door knocking rather than calling and meeting face to face. And I believe that's what has turned into success for me, that I'm taking it the step further, that I'm actually going door knocking and trying to meet with the homeowner.
Well, so a couple things that might surprise folks. Even though you're in a market where stuff is selling, you know, really relatively quick, where the market's strong. There's certainly pockets where that's not true, but for the most part, it's a really strong market. There are still a surprising number of expired and withdrawn listings. So listeners, basically, you know, don't be believing what you may be told. Go to the MLS and go back and do a search for the last 6 or 12 months and listen to what Tony said. Look for the expireds. Look for the canceled. Look for the withdrawals. Look for just any kind of real indication of what's going on in the market. You will be stunned, even in a super hot seller's market, if you want to call it that, like where he sells real estate. You will be stunned by the sheer amount of opportunities there are for sellers for, you know, you to go after a particular listing. So, Tony, our listeners, they want some practical, you know, geared down, drilled down information. You go find an expired listing, let's say, and then you're gonna go knock on the door. Walk us through how you go about doing that. Like, so let's, you know, let's make this even more practical. Let's pretend you're talking to you, right? Before you
Correct.
Actually join the coaching program, let's say you were just deciding to get back into real estate, you know, back, you know, a while ago, and you're trying to show you of the past version of you how to go about making money quicker. So pretend you're talking to that person, and walk us through how you go about taking so many listings, especially with expireds.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, being that I am in a law enforcement background and, you know, investigation background, I do my research first. So after I go through the MLS, you know, going through the expired and canceled listings, I start researching, you know, doing the property profiles, doing if it's a homeowner or if it's a renter, and get all my data first, you know, what it was listed for, who was the agent, get a little bit of information on that agent. So when I go to that door and I knock and I meet with the owner, I already have all this information and data that I'm not going to get blindsided with, questions that I might not be aware of. So I try to cover my bases where I'm going to have all the answers possible for this homeowner and impress him enough that he's going to want to hear my selling pitch of how we could list a property and sell it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but be more specific. When you're doing your homework, what specific things are you looking for to make it so that when you go and knock on the door, you're not blindsided, you're not caught feeling stupid or ignorant? So tell them specifically what things you're wanting to know prior to soliciting that seller.
Well, number one is the property being oversold? What type of marketing has that current or prior listing agent done or not done for that fact? And pretty much just give them true numbers, give them reality. Be like, you know, if your property is trying to sell at top dollar when a remodeled home or a rehab home is selling at that same price, we got to be realistic that their home is not worth that price, and that's why it did not sell.
So what I'm hearing you say,
and that's in the majority.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is you're going to obviously want to have an understanding of what the comps are. You're going to want to have done a CMA. You're going to want to know whether they're competing against new construction or at least a completely, you know, remodeled homes. And guys, the new construction phenomena in many of your markets really does gut the resale home market. You know, that if you've not been in the real estate industry for very many of these, you know, cycles, you're not going to necessarily know how powerful new construction is. But let me just bottom line for you. Many of you guys are in markets where there's new homes that are being built that are going to literally make the older homes seem obsolete. They're going to sit on the market. These sellers in many of these markets have been essentially in these, you know, these older, the sellers owning the older homes, they've been in these positions of controlling the market because they know the stuff is going to sell, and then all of a sudden, not so far away, there's a, you know, 1,000 home subdivision that just got announced. Their values are going to plummet. So know the market. That was a really good thing he said. And the other thing I like what he said is he said he's going to go and he's going to do some homework on the previous listing history. He's going to look to see if there were price adjustments. He's going to look to see how long it was listed. He's going to look to read the description, how well it was or wasn't marketed. You guys heard him say all these things. These are all powerful things to know. By the way, as far as doing searching, are you using a great service like mojosells.com, or how are you going about getting that information?
Yes. Well, I've been fortunate that I do work with a couple appraisers, so they're willing to team up with me to give me all the data that I'm looking for. Also with the title reps when I'm looking for property profiles.
Tony?
On the property, yes.
Okay, there you go. Your phone got a little jiggery there. All right, good. All right, so you have the information. You're feeling confident. You're scripted. You know, you're following the process as far as what to do when you knock on the door. So let's walk them through. You're walking up to a seller's door. It's an expired seller's door. You knock on the door, literally break it down little baby steps. So, again, someone who's wanting to follow in your footsteps and be as successful as quick as you've been so they can emulate your success. Walk them through how it happens.
Yeah, definitely. So I knock on the door. I say, hi, Mr. or Mrs. Smith. My name is Tony Martin with VCA Realty. I'm here because I understand that you were previously trying to sell your home. Please let me help me understand why it didn't sell or why is it off the market. Once I hear their story, I already have my, you know, pre-listing packet that I get from the coaching with all my data, and I explain to them, wow, this is how I work. Would you be interested in listening on my presentation? Once they agree, we sit down. And my presentation only takes about 5 to 10 minutes, and I explain all the details from my research, that it was overpriced or the property, the comparables that they were possibly using before, opposed to the actual comparables to their property, and make them understand that their realistic number was incorrect. And a lot of the times they are amazed because of all the homework that I brought to them that their prior agent did not inform them of, or that they were overselling it and they were not aware that they were overselling the property. A lot of these homeowners have no knowledge of real estate. And I think that is the key when we bring our knowledge to the homeowner.
When he's saying overselling, listeners, that's a LA term. He means overpriced, basically, just for the rest of you and the rest of the country. So, yes, that's good. So you're walking in there. You're walking in prepared. You're being – so here's what a lot of folks will be – maybe you of – if you were listening to this a few years ago and you were hearing it for the first time, I imagine you would be worrying about, like, your worst-case scenarios, right? So maybe worst-case scenario, someone's just not going to want to talk to you. But can you kind of, like – did you have fears before you started doing this kind of work? Now, granted, you had a pretty stellar professional background of law enforcement and doing investigations and whatnot, so maybe you didn't. Or did you? Let us know. Did you have fears of doing this type of work before you got started?
Absolutely, and I still get feared every time. I still get the fear every time I go door knock and the person answers the door. I get the butterflies.
That's actually kind of funny, I have to say. So like, walk us through people use the excuse of, you know, I'm worried that this is going to happen or that's going to happen, or they're going to say this or they're going to say that, or, you know, they have all these worst-case scenarios they run through their minds, and it prevents them from ever actually knocking on their first door, making the first phone call, or really doing anything that's going to be proactively helping them to go after business. So walk us through some of your own personal experiences of, you know, the types of things that happen doing this sort of work.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, yesterday at one of my door knocks, I mean, the first thing I got out of the person's mouth was, you're just here to rip me off. You need to get out of my property. And I'm shocked. And I was like, oh, I'm totally sorry for your, you know, previous experience. I understand that you're feeling, you know, the way you're feeling. But, you know, here's this information. Here's this packet. Please go over it. And, you know, maybe I could come back another day and discuss after you reviewed my packet. And the best part about it, you know, I gave them the packet, I walked away, and 3 hours later I get the phone call.
So here's an interesting thought for all of you guys, you know, who are considering actually going after the business. Now, do we advocate knocking on doors? We do. But would we want you to pick up the phone first? Absolutely. Why is he knocking on doors? Because it's more effective for him, but it's also more effective for him in his market. Everyone will be more effective when knocking on a door. That's just the way it is. It'll be harder for people to reject you when they're looking at you. And if you have your pre-listing pack, if you've essentially done your homework prior to knocking on the door, then even if they're getting solicited over the phone from the world's best over-the-phone prospector, even if they're getting the best piece of most gorgeous, you know, direct mail from the most seasoned top agent in the whatever, doesn't matter. The person knocking on the door, even if they don't have a whole bunch of experience, as long as they've taken the time, do the homework, you know, Tony, would you say you've mastered the scripts of going after expireds? Would you say you're like a complete Zen Buddha master of them?
No, I wouldn't say a master, but I've become pretty great at it. And obviously, you have to renovate that script because each case is going to be different. You're going to get clients that throw you that curveball.
But you have a comfort level. That's the point. You have confidence in it. So that's, listeners, that's really the bottom line. And Tony, how many different things, by the way, do these sellers ever say to you? I mean, how often do they actually come up with anything different from door to door?
I would say maybe out of 100, I'll get 3 or 4 that might give me something different.
They all
in the
say
most
the same
case,
thing. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, the funny thing is they say the same thing usually in the exact same order. Kind of like if they have a coach barking in their ear about what they're supposed to say when being solicited by agents. It's almost comical. So, guys, that's it. I mean, it is unbelievably profitable for many of you, in many markets to go after expired listings. Probably virtually everyone listing, you have more expireds in your market you can possibly imagine. Why do we absolutely, if I were to get back into real estate, I would absolutely do what Tony's doing. I go after the expireds. Why? Because they have their hands in the air saying, hey, I got a house to sell. It didn't sell. And chances are, we know statistically, there's been lots of research that have been done on this, virtually every single house that expires is relisted within the first, gets relisted within 180 days or less, and something like 50% of the ones that expire get relisted like within the first 30 days. So the reality of it is every expired is going to, well, virtually every expired is going to get resold. So even if you don't have a ton of expireds today or even this month, go back to the ones from late last year. Go back to the ones maybe from a year before. You can use a great service like MojoSells.com, and it'll go and pull out the ones that have already sold and, you know, give you updated information if you don't want to do it the way that Tony's doing, getting the information from a title company. You know, you could use MojoSells, or in some markets, you know, some smaller markets they might not serve. You might have to go about it doing the way he's doing it. It doesn't matter. There's tons and tons and tons, millions of sellers out there that absolutely positively want to get their home sold. So, yeah, picking up the phone is more efficient. You can cover more ground, obviously, on the phone than you can knocking on the doors, but going to the doors is more effective. And once you get past your fear of knocking on the door, you will be amazed how often you're going to have these really nice conversations with wonderful people who are scared. And there's something else that Tony said. I want you guys to be really clear about this. So he had some guy that, you know, went off on him and, you know, you guys and, you know, whatever negative response. Generally speaking, the people, this is counterintuitive. Remember your coach told you this? The people that have the more negative response to you are the ones that are actually the most motivated. Why would they have a negative response if they didn't really care if they had the house sold or not? You know, if they all, you know what, I don't care if the house sells, I'll just rent it out or I'll just stay put. They're not going to have a negative response. They're just going to be like, yeah, whatever, man. But if they were really, really disappointed the house didn't sell, if they're really under a lot of stress to get the house sold, you know, in other words, the most motivated sellers, those are oftentimes the ones that are going to have the most gruff reaction to you. That means that when you get somebody, just as Tony just said, when you get somebody that's all worked up, don't let them run you off, even on the phone. And by the way, it doesn't happen that often, Tony. How often do you get a grump? One every 20, one every 50? How often does it happen in contacting folks?
Well, for me, it's happened about one every 27 or so.
Yeah, and that's it. So don't let that 27th person, listeners, don't let that person ruin your opportunity to be of service. It's interesting. I thought of that about that being of service thing when I was reading our notes preparing for today's interview. And that really did, I think that really does reflect your mindset, isn't it? That's something that's really true for you. You really are of the service type naturally, aren't you?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I guess I was trained to do all this, and we have to maintain our composure.
Yeah, exactly. So what has been the hardest part of being as successful as you've been, as quick as you've been? What's been the hardest, the biggest challenge, the things that maybe in retrospect you were surprised were as difficult as they were?
I guess the hardest part was the scripts, was the losing the fear to go knock on those doors. The hardest part was adapting a new habit that I had to plan for my next day and make sure that I execute what I wanted to execute, which to me is, you know, knock on 100 doors a day.
Are you doing it?
I am. I'm sticking to my guns, and I knock 100 doors a day, 4 days a week.
So you're knocking on a lot of – obviously, you're knocking on just a lot of doors that aren't expired or for sale by owners. You're just knocking on a lot of cold doors, for sure, to hit 100. But you're prioritizing your time going after the folks, you know, the unrepresented owners, a.k.a. FSBOs and the expireds. Those are definitely your priority, correct?
Yes, correct. That's definitely my priority. And because I am in those neighborhoods that I already done some research, obviously other neighbors know that this property was listed and it didn't sell. So I know curiosity arises from that. And that actually takes me to the second thing that I like to do, which is go to neighbors of currently closed transactions. And let them know that transaction closed and pretty much give them the same spill and have my research ready for them.
Kind of like a just listed or just sold is what you're saying. That, and you do those when you knock on doors, letting them know about a recent sale, and then obviously asking if they or anybody else are thinking about selling, correct?
Correct. And I pretty much hand them, you know, the research market on that property that just sold and everything that's around them.
So let's talk about the free listing pack. How big of a difference was that in your business?
Oh, huge. I mean, tremendously. I wouldn't do this without that. Again, when I first started, I had no clue. I was like a chicken without a head. I would go door knock, and I didn't know what to tell them. I was like, yeah, are you, I'm a real estate agent. Are you interested in selling your home? That was my script. But
so
after
coaching.
Yeah. Yes.
No, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but after, you know, getting the coaching, I mean, it took me to a whole different level that my business, grew 500% in a matter of months.
Why? What specifically? Why was it so much? Was it just because you knew the pre-listing pack was answering, you know, every objection the seller might ever come up with? Or is it just because you had something that was so beautiful and professional and elegant to hand them that gave you more confidence? What was it that made such an amazingly huge difference in your business with just one thing, the pre-listing pack? Why?
The objections. That's the number key thing, because if you do not know how to reply back to a question, you know, you're done. And I mean, it's a proven fact that the typical person will only listen to you for 8 seconds.
Well, so there you go. So the pre-listing pack, listeners, and coaching clients in particular, I hope that you are absolutely positively getting your pre-listing pack completely done. Do not fall to the temptation of overly modifying the pre-listing pack that we give you as part of the coaching program, because if you do, you will not have the same level of success. And as Tony has touched on, we're not real advocates of memorizing scripts, but we want you to internalize them, and we do want you to personalize them. That's what he was touching on that he does do. That's great. But the pre-listing pack, guys, it is absolutely positively designed to make your job easier. The pre-listing pack pretty much answers every question, the thorniest, ugliest questions that a seller could ever possibly ask you. Is covered in the pre-listing pack. So by giving them the pre-listing pack ahead of time, you are taking out of the conversation that you'll have with them any of the little thorny commission questions or the listing term questions, or what if they're not happy, or how are you going to communicate with me, or what makes you so different, why should I list with you versus so-and-so, or what are you going to do to market my home, where's my house going to be featured online, you know, all the types of things that agents will usually not be prepared for, and like Tony said, as a result of mishandling the question, will lose the listing because the seller will perceive that they're winging it, right? The pre-listing pack takes all those objections out of the conversation before you actually sit down. And I hope you guys were listening. Tony's actual listing presentation is 15 to 20 minutes. Why? Because the sellers have no objections because he's given them the pre-listing pack. He can go in and meet with a seller and just drill down on what's most important to them, listeners, coaching clients. It's called the Sharpie Close. And then he goes right to price and gets the paperwork out of the way. Guys, it's a very simple, elegant solution. You don't have to be, you know, a seasoned professional with decades of experience to master our listing process. We've made it really easy. Well, hear it from Tony. Tony, is it a difficult process, our listing process?
Not at all. I mean, it just requires some time up front. But once you put that time, which that time is not even that much, you know, a couple hours depending, you know, how you want to go about it, and just practice on presenting it.
You know, the cool thing about the pre-listing pack, too, I'm sure you feel this way, is when you have like 5 or 6 or 10 of them even sitting in the trunk of your car, you know, you are just like chomping the bit to use to find a, you know, a seller to present it to, aren't you? Because it's so powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I get excited. I start with the butterflies. The next thing is I'm excited.
Well, there's no, I think, in the real estate business, you know, there's no, the one thing I truly miss is the listing appointments. They were fun. You know, going and helping a seller solve a problem, especially an expired seller or an unrepresented owner, you know, and going through and showing the pre-listing pack and seeing how impressed they are, that is just wonderful. Because then it just gives you the confidence to go after another and another and another. So let me ask you. This is, again, you're selling in a very competitive market at a very competitive time. You're succeeding at a very high level. Really, I mean, not that you, I'm asking you to be that overly introspective, but why you? What makes you so special when so many other agents, and in your market, it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of other agents are just struggling. They don't sell anything. Why are you so successful while they're struggling?
Well, I'm not going to say that I'm special. I will say that I've become successful, and the bottom line is I put the work in. You know, it's like everything. You got to plant that seed, you know, groom it, water it, and watch it grow. And that's pretty much, you know, how I was trained. That's pretty much, you know, what my background comes from. You know, you have to work. If you don't exercise, your body's going to deteriorate. If you don't go out there and door knock, or you don't go out there and, you know, do something in real estate, you're not going to see the business.
Well, so doing what you don't want to do, long-time listeners, you know what I'm going to say, doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. How often do you honestly feel like doing the kind of work that's necessary for you to maintain your success? Tony?
Sorry, was that a question? Sorry.
that was a question. How often do you actually wake up in the morning, bouncing off the walls, ready to go and knock on a door and have a conversation with a stranger? How often do you actually have to force yourself to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level?
I would say about 50% of the time. I mean, you know, it's life. You got other things going on. You got the family going on. You got activities that make you want to procrastinate and not do what you got to do. You know, but at the end of the day, if you want to be successful, you got to get up. You got to overcome those obstacles and get up and meet your goals and meet your daily activities so you can be successful.
How do you push past that, though, on the days where you don't feel like doing it, right? 50% of the time you feel like doing it, which, by the way, is great. So if the other 50% of the time you're having to force yourself, how do you do it? What's your motivation? How are you getting yourself to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it?
Well, my motivation is I enjoy my free time. I enjoy my family. So I know that, you know, if I get out there and I get the deals that I'm getting, I'm going to have the free time to enjoy my family. And that's my motivation. You know, the coaching, the softball, the playing, the baseball, that's my motivation. I know people have different type of motivation, and that's what drives me. The fact that I could spend more time and watch my children grow, enjoy them play sports. And the other side of it is I learned to enjoy real estate. I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories of what their plans are by selling that property or buying that property.
So I think that's really interesting, and I hope our listeners heard that. A lot of you guys carry around this perpetual, I'll call it guilt, but it isn't really guilt. It's just this feeling of, you know, fear, really, is what it is. Because you're always thinking about, like, you know, you're always worried about your next deal. Or maybe you're having a great month, or maybe you're having a great quarter. But then in the back of your mind is that whole feeling of, oh, my gosh, am I going to be able to recreate it, you know? Those are the kind of emotions that burn people out, because it's very difficult to sustain a high level of, you know, that high level of, I don't know what you want to call it, anxiety, without eventually starting having physical and emotional and then eventually financial problems. What we have our coaching clients do, and you heard Tony touch on this, is, you know, when you are willing to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level, and you're willing to do it consistently, as he said, every single day, when you're not working, guess what? You're not working. You're not thinking about work. When it's, you don't have to, following our system, guys, you don't have to work on the weekends. You don't have to work in the evenings. You don't have to work when you would be otherwise willing to spend time with your family, because you did what you were supposed to do when you were supposed to do it. Listen to what he's saying. Copy what he did. Not that difficult, guys. Tony, thank you very much for your time today. Yeah, I think you're going to be very inspirational for a lot of folks, because right now in the industry, as I'm sure you're aware, there are a ton of people that are transitioning into real estate from other careers. You know, professional backgrounds in law enforcement like you, or, you know, a lot of them are coming from Wall Street jobs, and we're seeing people from all different sectors that are migrating towards real estate because they want that sense of self-determination, because they want the autonomy, and because they want the ability to basically, you know, create their own financial future. And you are, I think you are a testament to what is possible in this industry and what an incredible opportunity being in real estate right now truly is. Guys, there's going to be a lot of negative economic news. That's called normal. Ignore it. Just focus on doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. And your life will open up. You'll see things and experience things and have thoughts and, you know, that you couldn't possibly imagine. And, Tony, I really appreciate you being inspirational for so many of our listeners. And I appreciate you very much being a coaching client as well.
No, thank you, Tim. No, truly blessed. I call it a blessed to have come across your coaching program. By far, you know, the best, and not that I'm trying to sell you. It's just that if it's working for me, somebody that, you know, just started the industry, it will work for anybody. They just have to apply it.
Cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And listeners, if you have any referrals, Tony, get ready to say your give them your information. If you have any referrals that are going to the entire area of L.A., there you go.
Yeah.
Tony, that will give you a lot of opportunities. How can they get a hold of you?
Yes, yeah, definitely my direct cell phone number, area code 323-403-1198. Also, I'm willing to share what I'm doing, even in my market area. I believe that the business is big, and it's big for everyone. There's no competition in my experience.
And you want to do a special shout-out for your lovely coach?
Yes, I do, definitely. Christine Fine, thank you. You know, you're the number one coach. I greatly appreciate the way you've made me think. So thank you, Christine.
And by the way, guys, Christine actually sells in L.A. as well. And so when you join our coaching program, all of our coaches are top-producing realtors. All of them, 90% of them, are still actively selling real estate. That's one of the things that makes us, I think, different in the marketplace, is you're not getting somebody who, you know, maybe never sold real estate before. You're getting something that's actually using the service at a high level. So just keep that in mind. Tony, I really appreciate it, man. Have a fantastic day. And listeners, we'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.